Hi, guys. Welcome back to the Life with Grief podcast. I'm your host, Tara Accardo. And today we are doing something really special. I have never done this on the podcast yet so far. And I am so excited to introduce my coaching series of sorts. Listen, I am throwing this out there just to see how it goes, to be very transparent with you. If you haven't heard already, you can now leave me a voice note at speakpipe.com/lifewithgrief. This is linked in the show description, so no need to remember this. Just head there to click on that and leave a voice note for me. And the whole purpose of this is to have a safe space where you can share what is on your heart and mind. You can ask a question for me to answer right here on the podcast, which is what I'm going to do today. And my whole goal of this is to help coach you through it. And then, of course, other listeners can be coached through it too, if they are maybe feeling the exact same way that you are, or you can simply send a message of hope to fellow grievers, which is super beautiful and so needed as well. I am so excited to make this a more regular thing, but of course that means I need and I want to hear from you in order to keep these coming. So that all being said, the first note here came from the sweetest soul named Emily. Emily, thank you so much for sending this in. And I am so excited to have this be today's topic because what she brought up here is so powerful. Just, I could honestly hear the emotion in her voice and the way that she presented this. You guys, I have no doubt if you are listening to this podcast, you might be here right now, or you have at least experienced this a little bit. And I am just so excited to dig into this because I think this is a very common feeling that Emily is describing here. So if you haven't experienced this already, I promise you at some point in your life, you probably will. So that being said, without further ado, this is the voice note that she left. I'm going to have you listen to it right now, and I'm going to be answering her question and addressing this topic on the podcast here today. So listen in and stay tuned for this little coaching episode.
Hello. Firstly, I just wanted to say thank you for all the incredible work that you do. It's been so extremely helpful. So I hear people say to create a full life of things you enjoy after grief. And I feel like I've done that much more than I would have done before grief. It's been about a year and a half since my loss. And within that time, I've moved abroad, got a job I really enjoy, have travelled extensively, and I'm still able to travel frequently around Europe. I'm trying to build a social circle in my new place. I'm going to events and doing activities I enjoy, etc. I'm exercising, I'm eating well. So I feel like I'm genuinely making the most of my life. But no matter what I do, I can't shake the immense sadness. And I recognize my privilege and I'm grateful for what I have, but I still feel lost and hopeless, even though I am in a good job and in a good location, etc. I suppose what I'm asking is there a way through these feelings? Thank you.
Wow. So beautiful and so powerful. I can empathize with so much of what Emily said, and no matter where you are in your journey right now, maybe there's something she brought up that resonated with you. I certainly hope so, but a couple things here. One, I wanted to just give a little bit of context here to her voice note, and of course, with respecting her privacy to her specific grief and grieving journey, I will just mention that this is in reference to the loss of a loved one that she went through, and this loss she went through about a year and a half ago. So just to give a little bit of background for anyone who's kind of curious about what exactly she's referring to here, and sort of just to give, again, some context of how we'll be talking about this today. But generally speaking, I just want to say here and kick this off by saying, you can be doing everything right. You can feel like you are doing everything right in your grief and still feel incredible, immense sadness and mourning for what you have lost or who you have lost, no matter how much time has gone by. And before we really dig in here, I just want to quickly talk about time going by, actually. And of course, kind of goes without saying that the acute grief, the early days of grief, right when our loss happens, right when we perhaps lose someone, for example, those are by far some of the hardest days that we will ever experience after a loss. Or maybe it's before someone has actually died, right? Maybe it's like this anticipatory grief that we're feeling before the loss actually happens. And then maybe there's a little bit of relief when the loss comes or when the death comes. And I just want to validate today, that is very normal and that is very okay to feel some relief there, okay? Like let's say, for example, it was the loss of a loved one because of a prolonged illness and they were in such a state of suffering. And we might feel some relief when they pass away because then they're no longer in pain, right? So a little bit of a sidebar, but coming back to the main topic here. As always, there are no limits and no bounds to our grief. And so while those earlier days are profoundly difficult, with time, new aspects and new layers of our grief are revealed to us, especially when it comes to the loss of a loved one. As we continue grieving them and as our life unfolds before us, and God willing, that is a long life ahead of us, there are going to be so many new feelings and emotions and complexities that come up with our grief and with mourning who or what we've lost. So we have to save a space for that. And I think it's so valid what she's saying here, right? She's about a year and a half out from losing this loved one, yet these things are still coming up. That's okay. That is bound to happen. That is normal because we're going through new experiences, new chapters in our life. New and exciting and happy things might be coming up for us, but that just might make us miss our loved one more, but maybe it's in new and different ways. So I also just want to mention, I think it's so amazing and beautiful what Emily says, and that she's recognizing her privilege and that she's grateful for what she does have in front of her. Oh my God, that's amazing. And that is such a tough place for us to get to. That can take a lot of time. So Emily, just kudos to you for even saying that, for recognizing that. But for you and for anyone else listening here, I just want to say that does not negate who or what we've lost. Absolutely not. Those two things can coexist. And grief is not, it's not meant to be fixed. Right? It's meant to be experienced. I want to say that one more time. Grief isn't meant to be fixed. It's meant to be experienced. So I'm not saying that you've done all of these things to, you know, try and fix your grief. I'm talking to Emily here specifically, but this goes for anybody here listening. If you've tried to do these things, if you've created this beautiful life for yourself, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're running away from your problems or from your loss. Not at all. This is the essence of living. This is the essence of living with grief. But my point in saying that is that sometimes we feel like we can be doing all of the right things to help us along, yet we feel stuck. We feel sad. We feel lonely. We feel lost. So where I like to put my focus on this topic is not eliminating certain emotions, of course, right? We have to feel those things. It's more about understanding where specifically they're coming from so that we can manage the intensity of them and handle those griefy moments, those triggers, those grief bursts. We can handle those moments when they do come so it doesn't overcome us as much. So let's first talk about managing that intensity, and let's dig into that just a little bit. And just to reflect back a little here, there were three major emotions and sensations that Emily called out here in her note: sadness, feeling lost, and feeling hopeless. So let's just hold space for that for a moment. Those are three of the most profound, deep, all-consuming emotions that we can experience as a human, as a grieving human, especially. They're very scary emotions too. Sadness we may feel, it might feel like we will never be our happiest, most vibrant self ever again. And we might think, you know, what kind of life is this that I'm leading? I will never be rid of this sadness. Feeling lost and without direction, that is unsettling. That can shake us. It might make us question everything we do or say. It can make us question our own intuition. Feeling hopeless, that is exhausting. It is draining. It is dark and it's heavy. And when you put all of this together, as so many of us often face and experience in our grief, that's a lot. That takes a major toll on our psyche and sense of place and sense of self. That is a very unnerving place to live. And we can feel really discouraged and even disappointed when we feel like we're doing all the right things, yet those still pop up and those still haunt us and those still make an appearance in our life. So what I like to do here when we look at emotions is to do two things. Look at them individually. So notice how I just called out all three of those emotions individually and kind of described how different they are. And I like to name them and give them a face, like almost give them a little bit of a personality in a way. So how I just described each of those emotions, please note that is my view and my feelings on them. That is how I would describe them. That does not have to be yours. You don't have to experience them the way that I do, but think about that for a moment for you. What emotions are coming up for you and how would you describe them? For me, when I close my eyes and think about each one, that's what comes up for me. So an exercise I really like to encourage is to do exactly that. Give these emotions the attention that they're seeking for a hot second. But we're doing this almost in a controlled environment, in a sense, where we have the control. So anyone struggling with this right now, if this is you and you are listening, please do this exercise, whether you just think about this, even better if you can journal it out. And this is actually something I literally do in coaching sessions when I one-on-one coach with people. I often start with breath work and a grounding exercise. And then, you know, depending on the session and depending on what's going on, I will often ask them, you know, what are three emotions that are coming up to you? Or what are three words that would describe how you're feeling today? And you know, this might vary session by session. Sometimes we do this practice, sometimes it might pivot a little bit, but let's say we're in a little coaching session here, right? Unofficially. So we dig into each one, and sometimes one will really take center stage. And oftentimes I want to lean into that because that's the one that needs to be dealt with. That's the one that needs to be given some love and attention. And if that's what is hitting the hardest, we kind of need to go with that. But at the same time, I don't want us to overthink that here, right? Because in allowing for some openness and allowing for a bit of a flow state here to explore what emotions are coming up for us, more will be unlocked. And maybe there are some things that are going to come up for us that we didn't even know we needed to deal and cope with. So get to know those emotions and how they show up for you, because they are not going to show up the same for each one of us. So then once we've defined them and giving them a little bit of a description, a personality, as I like to call it, I think it's good to recognize what specifically is causing, let's say, the sadness here, right? She mentioned sadness as the first one here. So let's just take that as an example. Maybe our gut reaction here would be, well, the loss of my loved one obviously is making me sad. I'm sad they're gone. Like, I'm just freaking sad, Tara. To which I would say, okay, sure. That makes sense. That's fair. But that loss, especially of a loved one, is so multidimensional. And there are so many layers to it. So we need to peel back those layers a little bit. And that means we need to peel back this sadness that we're feeling. Overall, it is a sad situation, of course. But just as our loved one was unique and multi-layered, just as all of us are here in the physical world, our grief for them can be that way too. So taking a step back here, just as some examples, what is bringing up that sadness for you specifically? Is it the physical contact that you had with them? Is it like a hug or, you know, their scent or something like that? Is it being able to call or text them? Is it the advice that they would give? Their energy, their laugh, their wisdom? List goes on here. And perhaps maybe it's all of this, right? And that's fine. That's okay. But at least you'll know what this means for you as you do this exercise. And, you know, from there, if there's one thing specifically, like maybe it is all of those things I mentioned, but if there's one thing that's really jumping out at you more than another, even if it's just by a little bit, I invite you to explore that. And I've found that by breaking down the emotions we're feeling, they slowly start to become more manageable, a little less intimidating, because we're understanding the why behind them. We're understanding the root of them, and we're understanding what is driving them a little better. Because it's really easy to feel overwhelming sadness or loneliness or anger or whatever it is. And sometimes we're just so blinded by that specific emotion and how it's making us feel that we don't necessarily question it or question the root of it past just knowing that, like, I'm feeling sad or I'm feeling lost or lonely or whatever it is. So I would encourage you to do this practice with each emotion and really journal on this. And by the way, I love to do this in an actual journal, as I mentioned. This is literally why I created my Losses Become Gains daily journal, which if you're watching the video version of this right here, got this in 3 colors. They're available on Amazon. Shameless plug, I know. But seriously, with this journal, I designed this specifically for grievers. So you have a quick morning practice, you have a quick evening practice, and then there's also room for free writing to just tap into whatever is coming up for you that day. So whether or not you use my journal, it's all good. Maybe even speak it aloud into a voice recording on your phone and just see what flows out of you. That is a really, really powerful practice, by the way, because again, you can really hear the emotion in your voice. But also being able to write that down physically on paper, that's really impactful too. So again, I invite you to do this. Take it emotion by emotion. We want to remember that we want to witness our grief with compassion and speak to it. So you are taking this control back and you are the one that is in control of the narrative and ultimately how it's making you feel. And this control aspect is so important, not to just simply be controlling, but grief can make us feel like things are just really out of control, right? It kind of shakes our safety. It shakes our sense of control a little bit. So that's why I love doing practices like this, because it centers us and it gives a little bit of that control back to us, right? And just to mention another practice I love to do in the morning to set yourself up for success is this. Think about these two questions I'm about to ask you. Number one, how do I want to feel today? How do I want to feel today? And the second question is, who do I want to be today? Who do I want to be today? And when you think about these things, really sit with it. Hold space for yourself and hold space for your grief. And when I say that, I mean doing that literally. Give it a period of time. Give your grief 5 to 10 minutes each day where you are meditating or you're on a walk, wherever it is, somewhere nice and comfy in your house, and sit with it. Think about how you want to feel. So let's say sadness is coming up for you often. Honor being sad. Honor that for yourself and for your loved one. Honor that loss. Sit with that sadness. That is okay. That needs to be seen. And remember that while we might have the best of intentions and we can feel like we're doing all the right things and we are ultimately leading a really beautiful life, like what Emily described, that sparked so much joy for me. In fact, I was kind of like living vicariously through her on some of those things, like moving abroad and all the things. I'm like, oh my gosh, that sounds incredible. And on paper, right, that can sound incredible. On social media, that can look and sound incredible. But here we are, so many of us, grieving. And we might come off looking one way, but we're really feeling another. And it is so important to get those things aligned. And it is possible, you guys. And in so many ways, there are aspects of grief that can and will stay with us. And that's okay. We just need to create that space for them. I've found that leaning into that, that is where so much of the power and the magic is. Because realistically, if we don't, it's only going to come back and find us, right? So that all being said, to finish this off, I just want to mention a breathing practice that I really love to be present with these feelings. And when we're giving them the 5 or 10 minutes that they need to come out, this is a really amazing way to really feel and lean into that. But it can also really help calm our mind and mitigate some stress and anxiety too. So this really works in a lot of beautiful, awesome ways here. So you may or may not have heard of box breathing. If you have and you've done it, you know how effective it can be. If you haven't, let me quickly introduce it to you. So there's kind of 4 steps to box breathing here. Step 1 is to breathe in, counting for 4. And I'm actually going to do this here right now. Why not? So breathing in, counting to 4. And you want to do that slowly and feel that air entering your lungs. And then, of course, I'm talking, so bear with me. But step 2 is to hold your breath there for 4 seconds and really try to avoid inhaling or exhaling for those 4 seconds. So breathing in for 4. Holding. And then slowly exhaling through your mouth for 4 seconds. And really emptying out your lungs when you do that. And then step 4 is to just repeat that. Repeat that 1, 2, maybe 3 times until you feel recentered. So give this a try. If you're ever having a moment of extreme sadness, anxiety, loneliness, whatever is coming up for you, and whenever you allow that space for your grief, like we've been talking about, I highly recommend practicing this then as well. So maybe you have your little gratitude practice in the morning, or your journaling, or whatever your routine looks like for you. That is an amazing way to get really grounded and just sit in that stillness, which again is just so magical, and it'll just make you feel so good. And again, I keep bringing up the morning, but I love doing this in the morning because it really sets you up in the best way possible for the rest of the day. All right, my friend, I hope you enjoyed this episode today. Like I said in the beginning, please send in any questions or comments about your grieving journey to be featured and talked about here on the podcast. I would honestly love to do more of these coaching episodes, but like I said, I need you in order to do that. So once again, head to speakpipe.com/lifewithgrief to submit yours. Again, this is all linked in the show description. And remember, if you liked what you heard here or found anything particularly useful, there is more where this came from in my membership that is also linked in the show notes here. In that membership, on a monthly basis, I am dropping in with meditations, with tools, journal prompts, all the good things to make sure that you are living your best life with grief. All right, so I am sending you so much love and light today. I hope you have a beautiful day, and I will see you in the next episode. I am sending you a huge thank you for tuning into today's episode, my friend. I'm so grateful you're here and for the steps you are taking to heal your heart, open your mind, fulfill your soul, learn, grow, and evolve, and move through this crazy thing called life in big, beautiful, impactful ways. Visit LossesBecomeGains.com for my blog, ways to work with me, to shop my daily journal, and so much more. And be sure you're following along on Instagram and Facebook at Life with Grief Podcast. I love seeing new faces, meeting new people, hearing your stories, and supporting you however I can. Be sure to hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. If you haven't left a rating or review, please do so. I would so appreciate it. Or if you feel so inclined to share this episode or this podcast with someone who could use it too. I'll catch you in the next episode.